Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, I Need a Joint for This Journey. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
When he created Adam in his body, he made him in his likeness and in his image. Thousands of years later, when he came to redeem us, he came in a body, saying, Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. For it is written of me, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. The angel finds a little virgin and delivers her a message and says, Mary, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored of the Lord. Thou shalt bring forth a son and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Mary said, Well, how can this be? I know not a man. He said, Well, that's precisely how it's got to be, because if you had known a man, his sin nature would be passed on to him through his bloodline. So God says, Hey, don't worry about that. You provide the flesh, I'll provide the blood, because he's bad like that. And so he stepped over into a virgin womb, and he turned her little womb into a dressing womb, where he took off of his all of his divinity and he put on all of his humanity. He wrapped himself in flesh. He stepped in through immaculate conception, but he stepped out Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, God tabernacle, God in a body, because he does everything through a body. He needed Mary so that he could not only come as my God, but he needed Mary so that he could come as my kinsman redeemer, because the law said that you can't redeem somebody that you are not kin to, or somebody that you are not related to. And as God, you might not know it, but as God, he was not kin to you. As God, he was not related to you. He could not relate to our struggle. He couldn't relate to our pressure and our pain and the feelings of our infirmity. So he had to take off his pre-existent glory and come stepping out of eternity down into time, step through 40 and two generations, out of the roots of Jesse, out of the seed of Abraham. The prophets begin to prophesy, he is coming, he is coming. The angels begin to announce, he is coming, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He is coming. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's why I praise him, and that's why I love him, because when I could not get to him, he came to me. When I needed a redeemer, he came. When I couldn't relate to him, he came. He came as my kinsman redeemer. And with blood from heaven and flesh from Mary, he became kin to me, which qualified him to redeem me. He was God walking around in an earth suit. People can't comprehend how it could be both God and man. Oh, but he was. He was so much human that he needed to nurse from the breast of his mother. But he was so much God that he made the milk that was in the breast of his mother. He was God enough. He was man enough to get tired. He was man enough to fall asleep in the bow of the boat. But yet he was God enough to walk up there in the middle of the storm and say, peace, be still. When the waves began to roll and the breakers began to dash and the winds began to blow, he stood up and said, peace, be still. And immediately the waves and the winds began to obey him, and they obeyed him because they recognized his voice. The very voice that was calming them was the same voice that created them. He was man enough to push the disciples out to sea, stand on the shore and wave bye to them. And then he was God enough that when they got out in the middle of it and they got into a storm, he came walking to them on the water. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about today. He was man enough to wear robes and he walked the city streets, and yet he was so much God that when a woman came up to him with an issue of blood, she just touched the border of his garment and the virtue left his body and she was made absolutely whole. He was man enough to come to a Samaritan well and get a drink of water, but yet he was God enough to tell the woman that he met at that well, if you ever drink the water that I have, you will never thirst again. He was so much man that when they put him on a cross and they nailed him to a tree on a hill called Golgotha, he died. While he was dying, the officials were laughing. They were mocking and they were making fun of him, thinking he is the Messiah. Oh, but all the while, he was so much God that he walked down into the pits of hell and he took the keys from the devil and he came back and he gave them to us. And he said, whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. He went to the pits of hell and he had to go there. I said he had to go there, because had he not become Lord of all, he would not be Lord at all. And if he would have only stayed in the earth realm, our power, my power, your power, would be limited to the earth realm. So he had to go all the way to the pits of hell, and he did it to show us that he had power over the world, but he also went to show us that he had power under the world too. And he went to hell. He went to give you power over everything. Hell was a one-way street until Jesus went in. Everybody that went in was one way, one way. You see footprints going one way. Oh, but when he came out, there was a set of footprints going in the opposite direction, and it led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Why did he do that? For the works of the ministry. God has given us gifts, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men so that gifts could feed us and examine us and evaluate us and connect us and stir us up until we all say all. You didn't say it all. Until we all come into the fullness of the stature, fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. See, he wants us all. Somebody say all. He wants us all to come into it. God never intended for there to be two or three superstars in his house. He never intended for there to be two or three celebrity kind of saints. It was never intended to be that way. It was never intended for his body to be divided into categories of who's hot and who's not, or mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. No, we got to all say all. We got to all come into the fullness, because we are the body of Christ. And part of my blessing is locked up inside of you. And I need you to start flowing in your healing ministry so that you can pray for me. I need you to start flowing in that gift of joy so that your joy can strengthen me. When the bound people come to church, there ought to be somebody in here anointed that they can sit by long enough to get free. They don't have to come down here to this altar. If you are where you need to be, they can sit now next to you and get that yoke broke off of their life. They should not be able to come in tormented and sit here tormented and leave tormented, because if a bad spirit can rub off on somebody, a good spirit ought to be able to rub off on them too. Tell your neighbor, you're blessed to be sitting by me. He gave us gifts so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro, up and down and in and out. He gave us gifts. And if you are always tossed to and fro and up and down and in and out, it's because you don't know who your gift is yet. He gave us gifts. He gave us leaders. And he took our lives and he separated us. And he took our careers and he took our choices and he took our decisions and he took our desires and he took all the things that we could have been, and he gave us to you as gifts so that you can learn the word of God, gifts so that when you get confused about what direction to go in life, you ain't got to call a psychic, you ain't got to dial no 900 numbers. No, all you got to do is call on Jesus. Lord, y'all better help me in here. It's time for the church to grow up and for us all to come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. He came and he bled and he died so that all of us could measure up. He came in the flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. For had he not come in the flesh, he could never have been able to redeem us out of the slave market of sin. See, I was a slave to sin. You were a slave to sin. He looked at me on the slave table and he said, oh, no. I'm going to buy her. And they said, you can't buy her, because until you can't buy her until you are kin to her. He said, I know that. That's why I came in the flesh. I came so I could be related to her. I came to relate to her. I came so that I could learn what it was like to have a broken heart, so that when she says, God, my heart is broken, I can say, I know exactly what that feels like, baby. Look at the nail prints in my hand. I came and I died so that I could redeem them. He died, y'all. I said he died. He wasn't playing either. This man died until the ground shook. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died to redeem you and me from every curse of the law. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. And now my life is hid in Christ with God, because he purchased me and he redeemed me and he covered me with his blood. And then he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He went down for me. Oh, but he didn't just go down. He got up for me too. And when he got up, he was so different. His countenance was so different that even those who were closest to him did not recognize who he was. And whenever you die out completely and you allow God to resurrect you, people won't recognize you either. He laid down his earthly body, but he got up his resurrected body. And see, sit down. The thing I love about him is that when he came up out of the tomb, when he realized he was in a closed up situation, he didn't panic. He took his time. Folded up the death napkin. Straightened up the place. Rolled the stone away and walked out of it. Tell somebody, don't panic. Just walk out of it. Woo! And when he walked out, Mary didn't recognize him. And Mary said, she didn't recognize him until he spoke. And when he spoke, she said, Rabboni, for my sheep know my voice. And another, they will not follow. Rabboni, I would recognize that voice anywhere. He said, don't touch me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended. Ooh, that's a good lesson to all of us. Don't touch anybody that's in transition. Whether they're going up or whether they're going down, don't touch them. This is the resurrected body that I'm talking to you today. The resurrected body, it was so bad. Somebody say so bad. That he was divine enough to walk through the door on this side, but then he was able to human enough to eat fish with them on the other side. He was so bad that when he told Thomas to touch his wounds and thrust his hands into his side, he was talking about his resurrected body. The resurrected body is the body that ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. It is the same body that Stephen saw when they were stoning him, and he looked up and he saw God standing on the right hand of the majesty on high. It was that body, it was the resurrected body that walked down the road of Emmaus with the boys. You know, they didn't even recognize him. He sat down with them. He took bread with them. He blessed it, broke it, and he gave it. He took it, blessed it, broke it, gave it. He took it, blessed it, broke it, gave it. And somewhere in the taking, the blessing, the breaking, and the giving, all of a sudden their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he was gone. He disappeared just like that. I'm talking about the resurrected body. The resurrected body, John described like this: his hair as white as wool and eyes as a flame of fire. His feet were like brass and his voice were like the sounds of many waters. That is his resurrected body. Oh, but on the night up in the upper room, and on the night of the Passover, we are introduced not to the physical body and not to the resurrected body. We are introduced to the memorial body. For up until that night, somebody say that night, the Passover was reminiscent of the Old Testament lamb. But that night, somebody say that night, when he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. So every time we take communion, which is what we'll do here tomorrow, we are remembering his body was broken for us. He had a physical body. He had a resurrected body. He has a memorial body. And we as the church, we are the mystical body of Christ. For ye being many members are members of one body. You and I, do you understand that? We are literally the body of Christ in the earth. Why do you say mystical body? Because 1 Corinthians says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation of the world unto his glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, they would have never crucified him, because before they crucified him, they could always identify him. Before they crucified him, they could point their finger at his body and say, there he goes. Oh, he's in Jerusalem today. He's in Capernaum today. He's in Galilee over there today. Oh, but once they crucified him and he got up from the dead, we became the body of Christ, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, let me introduce you to the body of Christ. And now, somebody say, now, they will never be able to stop us, because we are everywhere. We are on the train and we are on the bus. We are uptown, we are downtown, we're in the city, we're in the suburbs, we're in first class and we're in coach. We're in the church house and we're in the White House, in the clubhouse and in the courthouse. We are judges, we are congressmen, we are elected senators, elected officials, we are attorney generals, we are policemen, we are firemen. We live in apartments, we live in trailers, and we live in multi-million dollar homes. We drive fine cars, we drive hoopty cars. We play basketball, football, baseball, hockey. We are ticket takers, and we're ticket buyers, and we are everywhere. We are young, we are old, we are black, we are white, we are Russian, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, we are Hispanic, we are white, we are doctors and nurses and lawyers and chefs and school teachers and daycare workers, and we are everywhere. Africa, the Ukraine, the United Kingdom, America, Indonesia, Alabama, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, North Carolina, we are. If you're glad you're part of the body of Christ, shake somebody's hand, tell them we are everywhere. And when we come together, we are so powerful, because we have a bond that cannot be explained. We can have a bad day, we can fall out with one another, and we will get on each other's nerves. But when we come together over a need and we touch and agree, we have a stupid kind of bond. We have a bond that goes beyond our natural family, because when they forsake us, we have another. And when one cries, we all cry. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice, because we are connected. And if any two of us come together and touch and agree, he is in our. Don't look for him in the club. Don't look for him in the crack house. Don't look for him in the nightclub. If you want to know where he is, find out where we are. When we get together, he is in our midst. If you need a breakthrough, find the people of God. If you need a miracle, find a church. Get up off your couch and go find you a church. Because wherever the people of God come together, your deliverance is locked up in them. You ought to praise him, church. Praise him right now. What folks say about us, our God is with us. Let them laugh, let them mock us, let them say what they want. with us, cause we are the body of. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, what do you need from the Lord? I got it. I got the power. Shake somebody else. Tell them, stay connected. Stay connected. Listen here, church. If I wanted to get your finger, if I wanted your thumb to die, I wouldn't even have to cut it off. I wouldn't need an axe. I wouldn't need a knife. I wouldn't need a weapon. All I would have to do is tie it off. And if I tied it off, the blood would stop flowing to it. And the circulation would stop coming to it. And it would wither up and die. So and while you are going through the motions of life, that thumb would turn black. And it would turn blue. And it would turn purple. And it would turn cold and start rotting. And it would start stinking. All without me ever using any kind of weapon. So all I need to do to kill you is to stop the blood from flowing to you through the joints. Tell somebody, you better stay connected. Why? Because the body of Christ is edified by, I said, the body of Christ is edified by that which every joint supplieth. What is a joint? It is a place where a connection is made. The body of Christ is just the same way. If you cut my body, all of a sudden, before you can bat your eyes, my white corpuscles would put on roller skates and come running to the place where the cut was made. Then my skin cells would start sewing back together so the damaged area would not be exposed anymore. Anytime something attacks my body has within itself the ability to fight off infection and fight off disease and fight off bacteria. It's just natural. It's inside of me. My white corpuscles run over to wherever the gas is. They push on that infection and they push until it becomes pus. And they push till they push that pus right out of the infected area. I won't tell you how bad we are. Before they ever made Band-Aids, my body created its own. It's called a scab. I said it's called a scab. And my scab would form over the wound to protect my body from any further infection. And while I sleep, the cells that were torn apart that created the gash in my wound would start closing up back together. And the body of Christ is the same way. For every weakness, there is a strength. For every failure in this room, there is a success. For every habit and addiction, there is a person that is free. For every sin that you are wrestling with, there is somebody that has a testimony that God delivered me. That's why the devil wants to fight us from coming together, because he knows that if we ever come together, our success, the key to our success is in our unity. So he points out everybody's issues. Oh, you don't want to be a part of that. They're hypocrites over there. He points out everybody's problems, and what he don't point out, we investigate out. But let me save you some time. There is something wrong with all of us. All you self-righteous people. Just look at your neighbor and say, something wrong with you too. There is something wrong with everybody in this room. Cause don't nobody holler, save me, lest you need to be saved. There's something wrong with all of us, from the pulpit to the back door. But there's something right with us too. We have gifting. another. We put the devil on the run. And the reason he's trying to divide us is because God is getting ready to use us. You grab somebody, say, don't let him divide us. God is about to use us. We are about to tear down strongholds. We're about to pull down powers, principalities. We're coming after you. Loose our sons. Loose our daughters. Loose them in the name of Jesus. He's about to use us. And when I say God's about to use us, we immediately start thinking, oh, he's going to call me to preach. But there's more to ministry. I said there's so much more to ministry than preaching. If you're a preacher, I hope I can wake up and stir up the gift of God inside of you. But there is so much more that has to be done. Praying is ministry. Sowing is ministry. Binding the brokenhearted is ministry. Teaching children is ministry. Working the outreach is ministry. We need diversity in the body of Christ. We need people who know how to intercede until every lying spirit is put under our feet. Intercede until every homosexual spirit is broken. Intercede until every lesbian spirit is brought down. Intercede, intercede, intercede until the Shekinah glory of God falls in the house. We need the glory of God to flow through the joints. Not just me, not just Bishop, but it needs to flow through your joints. Hook up with your neighbor. Tell him, I need a joint for this journey. Tell him, if you'll do your part, I'll do my part. The power of God is getting ready to connect us. And what we had to fight on our own, we ain't got to fight by ourselves. I said we ain't got to fight it by ourselves anymore.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, I Need a Joint for This Journey, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady.